Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We celebrate harvest this morning, and our speaker is Mike Gillingham, lay reader at St. James. The readings this week are taken from Psalm 65 and Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4, and continuing with 16 to 21. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Thank you. If you'd like to take a seat. Chris is going to come and share our Old Testament reading. Then Lizzie's going to come with a New Testament reading. And then Mike will come and share the message with us this morning.
Just move the pod. Bit of trouble. Before I give the reading, I'd just like to promote the church magazine, because the very centre page is a longer version of the talk that Susie has given to us this morning. She gave us an awful lot of information. It was very interesting. Thank you very much, Susie. But if you want to sort of take it in a bit more, I urge you to get a copy of the magazine. There's four pages of it to read. So it's good stuff and very encouraging. And there are some more quotes from some of the volunteers in here as well. So just thought I'd point that out. So the first reading is Psalm 65, and I looked at two or three different versions of this, and eventually I plumped for reading the translation from the Message. Silence is praise to you, Zion-dwelling God, and also obedience. You hear the prayer in it all. We all arrive at your doorstep sooner or later, loaded with guilt. Our sins too much for us, but you get rid of them once and for all. Blessed are the chosen, blessed the guest at home in your place. We expect our fill of good things in your house, your heavenly manse. All your salvation wonders are on display in your trophy room. Earth tamer, ocean pourer, mountain maker, hill dresser, muzzler of sea storm and wave crash, of mobs in noisy riot. Far and wide they'll come to a stop. They'll stare in awe and wonder. Dawn and dusk take turns calling, come and worship. Oh, visit the earth, ask her to join the dance. Deck her out in spring showers. Fill the God River with living water. Paint the wheat fields golden. Creation was made for this. Drench the ploughed fields. Soak the dirt clods with rainfall as harrow and rake bring her to blossom and fruit. Snow crown the peaks with splendor. Scatter rose petals down your paths. All through the wild meadows, rose petals. Set the hills to dancing. Dress the canyon walls with live sheep, a drape of flax across the valley. Let them shout and shout and shout. Oh, oh, let them sing. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and then 16 to 21. Giving to the needy. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for all these gifts around us. As we look at them and the word from your Bible, we pray that we may understand and praise you all the more. Amen. This morning we're here chiefly to give thanks to God for his loving care. I'm going to go through our two readings to help us, and I'm actually using the NIV, but I think the contrast may help for some people to realize what it means more. Look at the two. When you study the Bible, look at several translations, because unfortunately, most of us can't read the original Hebrew or the original Greek, and we have to rely on translations, which always are just a little bit. We all know there's sayings that are completely untranslatable. So we start. This is for you, Ray. Director of music. I think we sometimes forget that the Jews worshipped God with songs 3,000 years ago. They were singing a bit differently, I'm sure, and different instruments. Pianos weren't around, much less electric ones. But we would be more or less familiar. And if a Jew from 3,000 years ago were transported here, he would have some idea what was going on, because they sang and they prayed and they read God's word and they had somebody to talk on it. There were lots of things that really haven't changed because they're worth doing. And we praise because it is due. We've got so many reasons to be thankful. Just pause for a moment. Look at all these. We have so much that we can give. We have more than we actually need. We're not starving. We're not in fear, as Richard said. I'm not worried that somebody's going to come through that door and arrest me. We have so much to be thankful for. And if we take just one Sunday to thank it, it's not enough. In fact, the Jews do this so much better, as so often. If you were in Jerusalem today, you'd see lots of little makeshift shacks round the houses, because they spend a whole, I forget how long, is it a week or 10 days, in a booth, and they eat there together, and they even sleep there sometimes. And it's a wonderful sort of camping out celebration. Do you remember? They call it Sukkot. I suppose it's a bit easier in Israel. You might get a bit cold out there if you tried in your back garden. But we praise because we've got so many reasons to be thankful. God answers prayer. But firstly, we need to remember this. if we were not forgiven, there would be no point in being here. That's the start of it all. We've all done things wrong this week. And we need to know that when we come to God, the first thing he does is forgive us. But our God doesn't just forgive us. He rules the whole of the world. Perhaps answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. What was it the message said? Something about abundance of treasures or something. There's so much. God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas. There is nowhere on earth where God will not help you. There is no one on earth where God will not answer prayer. That's a wonderful thing. If you've taken the flight to Australia, I haven't, but I know that some people have. It's a long way. It takes you a long time. But when you get there, you'll find God is there also. He isn't just confined to our little country. I love mountains. What power to make a mountain. I love big ones like this, the Matterhorn. Fantastic. That sort of spike of rock reaching up so high. And I like smaller mountains that I can actually climb myself. I've climbed a fair few. But think of that power of God to raise up a mountain. Think what it would take. If you go to Silbury Hill, which is not far from here, I was going to say in Somerset, I'm not sure, it might be in Wiltshire, but it's not very far. It was built by people piling earth. But to build the Matterhorn, forget it. And I love the power of the sea. I used to live in Weston-super-Mare. And the time when the inhabitants of Weston-super-Mare go there is not in the summer to enjoy the beach. Well, perhaps they do a bit. But in September, when you get the highest tides and the wind behind them and the waves smash, and it's so wonderful, that power. For the Jews, the sea was an untamable monster. They didn't really get on with the sea, which is one of the reasons that Jonah runs across the sea, because it was going into the wilderness, the wild area. Ugh, we don't do this. But for the Jews, the sea was that untamable monster, but God could tame it. And as he tamed the sea, he could tame the world. I don't know about you, but as I look at the news, I despair. To hear that God can deal with the turmoil of the nations. Oh, there's plenty of that, isn't there? But God can tame it. The picture, well, in this recent history, our country's lowest point was in 1940, when we were the only country opposing fascist Germany. The only one in the entire world. But in 45, as we remember, there was VE Day, and this is a photograph of the cenotaph on VA Day in 1945. God did that. And however horrible the present world situation is, God is still the one who can deal with the turmoil of the nations as he dealt with the sea. Picking up with Richard, we must have been thinking the same thoughts. Perhaps we worship the same God. What can beat a sunset? or sunrise. I expect many of us have to admit to seeing more sunsets than sunrises, but they're both beautiful, just happen in different directions. That regular cycle of day and night, a number of people who will share that sort of picture, because it's just wonderful, isn't it? That beauty. And people pause, and when they see it, they have songs of joy. And that song of joy should be directed in thanks to God. Our God is a God of everything. His reign stretches far and wide. The regular day and night are his creation. Now, I looked it up. The longest day of any planet is that we know of is Venus. And it's 243 Earth days. Now, just think about that. Supposing every night was 243 days long. That would be a bit nasty, wouldn't it? You know, and then you've got 243 days sunlight, and then back to 243 days. Oh, gosh, it would be awful. And what would grow? Nothing. In fact, the more you learn about the different planets, the more it's wonderful that Earth is in just the right place. Venus there is too close to the sun. It's got runaway global warming. And the not only that, but it's got acid rain that, will damage virtually everything. It's very hard to send rovers there. You can see rovers on Mars, but you don't see them on Venus because it's very, very hot and very, very acid, and it's very, very difficult to make anything that will last. So we're in just the right place. How wonderful. Let's give thanks that we have days and nights that make things grow and that we can cope with. And God cares for the land, waters it, provides stream filled with water to provide people with grain, drench its throes, level its ridges, soften it with showers, and bless its crops. We owe something to our farmers who produce our food, but so much more to God who enables food to grow. And in a sheep farming and dairy area like Somerset, we cannot forget how God cares for flocks and herds. The grasslands overflow, the hills are clothed with gladness, meadows covered with flocks, the valleys mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. The psalmist talks as though the very land was singing, and we should just join in. So we've got lots and lots to be thankful for. But I'm just going to pause a moment. Our main purpose this morning is to praise and give thanks. But just for a moment, some people will be thinking about when things go wrong. Some people in this world are starving. So often, this is a result of human sin. There is enough food produced in our world to feed everybody in our world. It is a fact. There is more than enough food available to feed everybody. But we know that wars cause starvation. Greed causes starvation. People raise prices so high. Food is thrown away. How dreadful. And we shouldn't forget global warming. Now, I could get very, very political, and I probably shouldn't, but I mustn't get too unpolitical. I think it's a disgrace that one of the richest countries in the world, if not the richest, is cutting down on aid. And two of our own parties are talking about cuts also. So often in the Bible, we are told to care for our neighbours. And the parable of the Good Samaritan reminds us how to interpret that word neighbour. Our neighbour is everybody we meet who's in need. But not every disaster is due to human sin, like building houses on floodplains, which is daft, or other really silly things that people do. Sometimes we cannot understand. And then I think we just have to hold on to our knowledge that God is good. And when we see a disaster caused by nature, we can just say, I don't know, God. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? But, in fact, one of the things we are doing in this service is to help our neighbours. This is a lovely tribute. Susie won't be able to tell us immediately how many days this will last. So there's obviously need for our giving and generosity. It's not just this one day, but we need to continue. It's good, though. This will help. All this will help. I had the joy of buying a razor for the first time for, I forget how many years. I couldn't resist doing it because I really have. It's a thing I haven't done for so long. And who do you think bought the biggest bag of goodies? Well, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. We had a nice song, didn't we? But it wasn't "How Big Am I?" We left the stuff at the back and the children brought it forward. That's good. That's the way it should be. This suggests that Jesus was pointing to people who did it. Get a trumpet because I'm bringing a big offering in. Here it is. See how big it is. That's not the way. Those of you who came to the Heritage may have seen this document before. You can't read it. I'm sorry, it's too small. But it's the subscriptions for the rebuilding of the tower. And it's got, if you look carefully, you'll see it's got names. And then on the right, it's got how much they gave. Pounds, shilling and pence. Quite a number gave £10. And I looked it up, that's about £1,400 in today's money. Whee. One gave £500. And at the bottom, I don't know whether you can read that, it says, subscriptions promised. Now there's blackmail for you. If your name's there, you better cough up, hadn't you? That's not the way we should do things. Jesus says, when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We must be grateful to Richard, Chris and others who help our donations to be confidential. None of us knows how much anybody else gives. That's the way it should be. And I'm always reminded of the secretary at one chapel I helped out at occasionally, who would give the notices, and the last notice was always the same. Last notice was, we will take up the offering as an act of worship. Here is an act of worship. You may not have thought of it as that, but that's an act of worship that we gave. Jesus talks about fasting. I think it's fairly obvious that I don't know a lot about this. I'm not qualified to speak. But it says about a lot of things. When we give up something to help somebody, we should treat it as a joy to give that up. Not as something, oh, well, I've got to go and help old so-and-so. When we talk to that person who's really rather boring, and I've heard that story 10 times if it's once, that's to be treated as a joy. Whatever we do for others, to be treated as a joy. And we all know that what we store here fades or rusts. And in my case, is lost. Nothing here lasts. So don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and thieves break in and steal. Tutankhamun thought he could take all his treasures with him. It's interesting that when the people investigate all the tombs of the great pharaohs, where they carefully stored all the goods to last them in the afterlife, they find nothing because thieves have broken in and stolen it. The Tutankhamun one is the only one the thieves hadn't found. And even now, Howard Carter and his friends have stolen it, and you can see it in museums. He didn't take it with him. I'm reminded of the story of a very rich miser who lived in one village who died. And all the village turned out out of curiosity to see what the funeral was going to be like. And at the end of it, one of the villagers sidle up to the vicar. Do you know how much he left? And the vicar said, everything. This is what we should be treasuring. Treasures that bring joy to God's heart. And for each of us, the key question is the last sentence. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So where is it? In thanks to God? Or how much have I got in my pocket? Let's pray. Oh, generous God, we thank you for everything that meets our needs and brings us great joy, that makes us feel wonderful. We thank you too for the opportunities we have to be generous and kind. Lord, may we find great joy in serving you and great joy in serving our neighbors. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.